Chapter 3. A few days later, Allison took a deep breath as she stared at the modest two-story brown house perched on the top of the hill. Her heart thundered in her chest, and she glanced back at her Fiat as she wondered if it made more sense to get in and drive away. She wasn't sure if she was ready to confront the two magicals inside.
"This is a mistake, but there's no way I can back out. What excuse would I use? I can't say I'm afraid. Not of these two, of all people."
Mason chuckled nervously beside her.
"I'm glad you agreed to this. I wasn't sure if you would. I thought you would make up an excuse and was half prepared to fake believing it, too."
"Damn, he sees right through me."
"This is dangerous," she shook her head. "I should have brought back up. Fair enough, you're here, but it's not like you can stand up to them given your relationship."
"I can stand up to them. This honestly won't be as bad as you expect."
His chuckle became a more natural laugh.
"And backup? Like who? Hannah or Drycey? Ava? I don't think this is the kind of situation where having more firepower, or girl power, really helps. It's not like the two people in that house are anyone you can win against with overwhelming strength. You'll simply need to be diplomatic. You can do this. I know you can."
"At least I'm dressed for the part. I think." Allison sighed and looked down at the open front of her long black coat. Beneath it, she wore a light blue dress, attractive, on the elegant side and not too sexy. Mason's briefing on the situation was woefully inadequate. She wanted to be angry with him, but she understood that he was as nervous as she was. He wore a dark blue suit that framed his shoulders well, and he was, of course, as handsome as always. They both had the clothes, and they were at the location. Now it was time to confront their opponents for the night.
"You look fine," he insisted and waved a hand airily. "You're worrying far too much. This won't end in some huge war or blood vendetta."
"It could end in a vendetta," she muttered.
"They aren't like that. I've already told you that. I know you don't believe me, but it's the truth."
"Is this a little payback?"
"Maybe. I can't blame him after what I put him through before."
No, I can't think that way. This will totally go great. There won't be any explosions or killing or weird Orisaran lizard guys. I only have to go in and be honest and myself, unless they hate honesty and they hate my normal personality."
Mason offered his arm, and Allison took it. They walked up the narrow cement path across the yard. A light dusting of snow coated the area, but her galloping heart would have kept her warm even without her coat. She would have rather kicked in a warehouse full of wizard assassins. At least, in that situation, she knew exactly how to handle herself. She swallowed as they reached the front door. It was innocuous, and a woven mat reading, "Welcome," rested in front, like bait for a trap.
"You don't fool me. I know this won't be some happy chat."
"Why do I feel like I should have a shield and shadow blade ready?" she muttered. Her hands twitched, and she wondered if the witch and wizard inside would find it amusing if she stepped inside with her defenses ready.
Mason snickered. "These aren't people you need that kind of magic for, eh? Calm down."
"Says you. But you're on their good side. Me? Maybe not." A grin grew on his face.
"I had to face this same situation. I even agreed to stay in the situation for several days. I went into the dragon's den. So you can too."
He reached up to knock on the door, but it swung open to reveal a smiling blonde woman in a light blue dress and an apron. Her smooth face made her look like she was in her late 30s, even though Allison knew she was in her early 50s. Asking if it was good genes or life magic didn't strike her as polite, though, especially since the family resemblance to Mason was unmistakable.
"Hello, Mom,"
he said with a smile. She pulled him into a tight embrace.
"Considering we live in the same city, it's been far too long."
A slender, near clone of Mason with about 10 extra years on his face stepped behind the woman. Mason's father, Henry, seemed a little more imposing than her boyfriend, though. Allison managed a smile, despite her every instinct telling her to run or fly because she could, come to think of it.
"Hello, Dr. Lind, and, Dr. Lind."
His mother, Carla, laughed.
"No, that won't do. Call us Carla and Henry."
"Okay," she smiled. "Mason's told me so much about you."
At least this shouldn't open with them asking how many three-headed dragons I've killed.
Allison smiled at Carla as she finished another bite of roasted chicken. She couldn't claim it was the best she'd ever tasted, but it wasn't bad. The first 20 minutes of the meal had proceeded with very basic small talk. They'd even spent 5 minutes discussing the recent snow.
"I saw on the news that your team helped to escort those shimmer rays,"
Henry commented.
"And you managed to capture the 3 poachers and turn them over to the authorities."
She nodded. It was a straightforward job, except that it involved the ocean. Carla cleared her throat delicately.
"Still, it's good whenever something like that can end without too much bloodshed."
Mason's jaw clenched. Allison managed not to sigh. "Oh, I see. So it won't be how many 3-headed dragons have you killed, but the opposite. He warned me they were very focused on healing, so I should have seen this coming."
She shrugged.
"It is. I see the role of a security contractor in general as one of protection. Whenever I'm on a job and I encounter someone who intends violence to me or my team, I almost always try to give them a chance to walk away or surrender. Unfortunately, not everyone does, and I have to defend myself, my employees, and my clients."
"Oh, I understand that."
Carla stared at her, her expression thoughtful.
"As a doctor, you can imagine the kind of injuries I've had to treat, though. I'm not naive to the full breadth and depth of intelligent species' ability and willingness to harm one another for the most thoughtless of reasons."
Henry nodded his agreement while he sipped his wine.
"When we do our job well," Mason interjected, "it leads to fewer people getting hurt."
His mother's gaze finally broke from Allison to drift to her son.
"True. But if you'd followed the family tradition, you'd be a man helping to mend and not to break."
He frowned.
"Mom, we've been over this before. Too many times. I'm not rehashing this argument now, especially in front of her."
He nodded toward his girlfriend. Allison grabbed her wine and gulped half of it. Honestly, she was too sober for this. Unlike Mason, she had basically followed in her family's violent, ass-kicking footsteps, although both her parents made it clear they wouldn't have stood in her way if she'd wanted a different career. Carla leaned back in her chair and a slight frown marred her face.
"I don't mean to be rude. It's not like Allison's some woman you picked up at the gym or something. I understand that this is a serious relationship, so I see no reason to hold back."
She winced and didn't dare to correct the woman about where she had met her son.
"I'm happy I became a bodyguard," Mason insisted, "and I'm happy I joined Allison's company. Because of that, I've helped make this country and even the world a better place. We defeated Scott Carlyle together and ended his anti-magic plot. We helped stop a dark wizard conspiracy stretching back decades, and that's not including all the rank-and-file criminal scum we've helped bring under control."
Henry grabbed a wine bottle to refill his glass.
"Be careful, Mason. You don't want to let your job color your view of reality. Not everyone is scum." "No, not everyone is scum," he shrugged. "Only the kind of people we often have to deal with. We're not talking some rival corporation that merely wants a few industrial secrets, but people who think nothing of killing children or trafficking."
Carla raised a hand.
"I'm sorry, it was impolite. I shouldn't have brought it up. You're right. You decided to walk your own path a long time ago. That has little to do with Allison."
Allison finished off her second glass of wine and set it down. The warm cloud in her mind was welcome. She nodded slightly.
"So let's talk about things that have to do with Allison,"
Carla continued.
"What are you talking about?"
she squeaked, and fixed the woman with a startled look.
"I'm interested in your plans for the future. After all, that's why you're here now meeting us, isn't it? You're considering a future with Mason, so let's talk about that."
She glanced at her boyfriend. He looked as confused as she felt, so she turned to his mother and waited for her to continue. Carla shook her finger.
"Come now. Neither of you is fresh out of high school, and you're living together now, which means there's an eventual end goal for this. I'm curious about whether you've thought about some of the implications."
"Implications, Mom?"
he asked with a frown. He looked at his father, but the quiet man shrugged and hid behind a wine glass. His mother nodded and turned toward Allison.
"Have you talked about children yet?"
Mason opened his mouth to say something but closed it without uttering a word. He cast a curious glance at his girlfriend. So we're doing this, huh?
Allison looked at all three members of the Lind family before she shrugged. To be honest, I've not really thought about it that much.
Carla's brow furrowed and a flicker of irritation crossed her face.
You've not thought about it?
I've thought about it a little, of course, and it's not like I have some huge objection to having children. That said, I'm not concerned about having any kids anytime soon. Everything I've heard suggests that my lifespan will likely be closer to a drow's than a normal human, before taking any kind of magic into account.
She laughed. It's actually weird to even think about this when my mom's pregnant. So my answer is yes, I'm interested in kids, but I'm also not in any real hurry.
Henry nodded. Satisfaction filtered onto Mason's face, but she wasn't sure if he was happy about the idea that she wanted children, or if he was merely happy that she had stood up to his mother.
Well, that's a particularly unusual situation, given that she's not your biological mother, from what I understand,
Carla pointed out.
My point is that you are currently involved in a very dangerous line of work. If you do decide to have children, I can't see being a magical security contractor as a viable career path to promote family stability.
Allison wanted to blurt that it hadn't stopped her parents, but that wasn't true. James and Shay did keep their older jobs as a bounty hunter and tomb raider, respectively, for her first few years of high school. But by the time she'd graduated, they'd both all but retired to more stable and less dangerous careers. They didn't have to make the hard choice now that Shay was pregnant. They'd already made it.
That may very well be true, she conceded, but it's not as if it's a problem.
Oh?
Carla raised an inquisitorial eyebrow.
How is it not a problem?
Because I have magic, a college degree, and millions of dollars,
she shrugged.
I run a security company because I'm trying to make this city a better place in my own way, but it's not like I have to do that.
She smiled at Mason. For now, Mason and I want to use our abilities to help protect people. It's only a few decades since the gates began to open, after all. Everyone's still trying to work this all out. I'm sure that in a couple of decades, we won't need things like bounty hunters or security contractors to protect rare animals from wizards and Nerak.
Are you sure you're not waiting too long, then?
Mason snorted.
Come on, Mom.
Carla frowned.
What? It's a valid question.
No, it's not. Not with a half-drow and a life wizard.
He gestured at both his parents.
Most people would assume you're my sister and Dad my brother. Allison will live longer naturally, but everyone in our family lives longer because of magical techniques we've used in this family for a long time. It's not like if we don't pop out a grandchild for you in the next year, we won't ever have one.
The woman sniffed disdainfully.
I'm not saying anyone expects that. It merely might be nice if it happened sooner rather than in a couple of decades.
Allison took another sip of wine before she picked her fork up. She still had half a chicken breast to finish. It was a good excuse as any for hiding from the conversation.
That's what this is really about, isn't it?
Mason smirked.
It's not so much about our plans, but about your empty nest syndrome.
Carla's cheeks reddened, and she snatched her fork up to apply it to her own meal. Allison smiled around her mouthful.
A kid, huh?
When I used the wish, they implied that another wish might come when I had a daughter. But Razilla and Mina both also suggested that it isn't guaranteed for my line. Am I giving up the wish by not getting involved in drow politics? Do I even care? She took another bite of her chicken. Getting into drow succession discussions might be a valid discussion for the future, but it wasn't a subject she wanted to discuss with Mason's parents.
This is good chicken, by the way, she ventured.
You'll have to give me the recipe.
Carla beamed. I'm glad you like it. All natural, not a single spell used.
Sometimes a little ass kissing is all you need.